Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Do not adjust your dial. You're listening to episode 31 of Two Locks, No Cox and a Spot. That's right, a spot. We'll tell you why in a moment. On the field, Six Nations Roundup. Exeter Chiefs men and women both win loads. Local Rugby Roundup. Off the field, not celebrating size, / Gabby Logan's reserves tweet. And in the bin, how long is an advantage?
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
So anyway, I said we had a spot, and the spot is Christopher Whitehead. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Second appearance.
Woo! Welcome to the pod. Yeah, I'm going to go like that because I think it's good. No?
Absolutely not.
It's much easier than last time because last time you were on it, you were in Paddington Station on AirPods and it was just thee and me.
It was indeed. And that was hard work.
And I couldn't like touch you or smell you or anything, and it's much better as you're...
He does smell nice though, doesn't he? He's got like a musk of amber and wood and
yeah.
Should I be concerned about Ian Dunson's knee on my knee?
No, that's just rugby. It's friendly.
That's luck.
It was lovely to be back on.
Yeah. Well, before we get to matters at hand, there was quite a bit of consternation from a debate I had with Gabby Cantorna last week, and I've had a word from my legal counsel, Lord Nelson. Mathematics is a plural noun. There are different types of mathematics: algebra, calculus, geometry. I'm also fully aware having an English teacher and a lawyer in the same house can potentially sound quite dull. So that was just to clarify that I was correct. Mathematics is plural, and all Americans are wrong. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so all Americans?
Yep, basically.
Not just Gabby?
No, all of them.
Okay, good, well done. I love a generalisation.
Broad brushstrokes right across the nation.
That wipes out that market for us then?
Exactly, in the stats we talked about.
No, sorry. No, the Gucci gang are all right, they're sound.
Okay, fine.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that one out there. No.
Good. No, I'm not going there. So, yeah, I really missed not being here last week. I'm sure everyone was really pleased of a break of 1 week.
I'll be honest, but... the view on the other side of the desk was a lot better last week than it is this week.
Oh, that's really harsh.
Well, it's true, though.
Well, okay, fine, I'll stick with that. Okay. I was driving all over. It was like Exeter, Watford, Birmingham, Watford, Exeter, London, blimey.
I mean, my best mate has a go at me because I never leave the Shire. He lives in Bedford. He's like, you never leave. I'm like, well, why would I want him?
I say that about the people of Exmouth. I said, there's life the other side of the speed camera. And they're like, no. And the speed camera moved up the hill like another 300 metres last year. So it's like, oh, it's even further north.
But someone firebombed it though, didn't they? It was like
the one down the bottom they do. Yeah. But now it's one of those new ones that will catch you on the phone without a seatbelt or speeding.
Wow.
Which is fine. I'm all good for that because I never do that.
Okay, you have an intelligent car that does it all for you, don't you?
Well,
it's like Kit.
Or my drivers, you know.
It's like Knight Rider.
Bentos, I'm just thinking, I'm literally looking at Dunstan's bald head and thinking, had I not got this wig on, I'm more than happy to elaborate on the wig or the hair system.
Chris,
I would be sat here
there.
Exactly the same, like two thumbs you'd be looking at.
I was not going to go there. Chris, let go on then, let's plug it. Tell us about what's taken place with the top of your head.
Literally plug it. I had a hair system for those... not familiar with hair systems, they're essentially a toupee. And if anybody knows, as soon as there's a wig in the room, you can essentially find them straight away. I have one on my head.
I don't know why you own it. See, for me, I wouldn't have announced it. You own it all the time. I'd be like, I wouldn't say anything. You'd just like, Chris, your hair's amazing.
I'm super proud of it. It's incredible. It's life-changing. I've gone from a bold, fat, big-eared fella to... a fat,
big-eared fellow with hair.
With hair, exactly. It's amazing.
It's one hell of a rug, though, isn't it?
It is.
You'll also love the fact that so Chris can be the same height as me, his chair is extended as high as it'll possibly go.
My feet aren't touching the floor here.
Did you have to go through like a process of getting it to match your skin tone and everything?
Absolutely, it's a long-winded process.
Well, it's called a hair system, so I bet they really do...
Oh, they ham it up.
It.
Yeah, they proper ham it up. Yeah, it's essentially they stick a wig on with a load of super glue and then they put like three different lines of stitching in the top of it. But it's incredible. It's life-changing.
Yeah. You're really proud of it,
I'm
aren't
super
you?
Proud of it. I cannot recommend it enough. Point where I want to go up to people in the street that have got like a little monk spot on the back of their head and they, hey, I've got a system on.
Do you want me to give you a contact?
You can't call them monk spots at the back anymore. They're called a biscuit.
Oh, biscuits. Sorry.
Unless it's really big and then it's a cookie.
Did you do you have like a sell-on fee or anything? Because I've got a mate of mine, well, you know him as well, Ben Lewitt. He's had a hair transplant, and he's always telling people, you want to get down to the Wimpole Clinic. And I don't know if there's like a kickback or something on this.
There must be, but no, I have no kickback whatsoever. But there's an amazing studio in Exeter. Very happy to connect anybody into it if they need to.
Oh, sorry. Brad the Rugby God, having arrived an hour late for today's podcast, just give me a passive aggressive get back to rugby.
Perfect.
Okay, right. So, should we go Six Nations? Everyone happy with Six Nations?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where do you want to start?
Friday night.
I actually missed Friday night. Who played Friday night?
Who played Friday night?
Yeah.
Wasn't it the Italy Scotland game Friday night?
That was on Saturday.
Saturday morning.
That was on Saturday
it?
When I was at the mighty Exeter City watching them. Tell you what, I went City. Really good day, and I was a guest of RGB. Paul West, shout out to Westy and RGB. There are other building contractors, but Paul Gammon and Baker are definitely the best. We went out and watched the first half, and Bolton Wanderers, 30 league points ahead of Exeter City, scored, and you're thinking, it's not looking good. Went in at half-time, and you have this really difficult challenge at the football, because you've only got 15 minutes. So you're like, do you have 1 pint or two? So I just went for one. And got it drunk, but then there was quite a queue to get out, so it didn't get out until 5 minutes into the second half, and Exeter City had scored 2 goals.
No way, you missed two of them.
I actually said to everyone in the room, we can't leave the room, we've got to stay here, we're like the lucky charm.
I heard you turned up having had a big night the night before and were absolutely budget.
I thought I was good value, and I dug in well. But then we saw that, and Giles Ashman was ace on the post-match Q&As, I thought so, and City did really well. 2-2 draw with Bolton Wanderers, but I only saw the last 20 minutes of the Italy game, so I can't comment. My dad has been going berserk. It was the best game of rugby ever seen. Ross Vincent was on fire. Your defence was terrified.
He was. The whole game was really good, and you know they were that confidence. The draw with France a couple of weeks ago, even though there was that week break, and they should have won because he charged down a penalty which you can't. And they took that into the game against Scotland. It was great.
I heard that Duhan van der Merwe had the chance to give a scoring pass, but held on, got tackled, and that was the game. And he was greedy.
Yeah, they closed him down. They obviously realised what a weapon he is, and if you give him space, then he's going to do it. So, yeah, Vincent was just on like hunt them down.
Weapon in the good sense, right?
Yeah, yes.
Not as in the negative sense.
No, good sense.
Italy, they've just got a belief about them now, haven't they? They've got that draw that there should have been a win, like Dunstan just said. And it was an amazing game to watch. I genuinely backed Scotland going into it, thinking they'd win.
Yeah.
More for me.
Well, it looked like Scotland had it wrapped up. There were 15 points to the good or whatever it was, going through the motions. And very similar to the game they played at Murrayfield. They just sort of, the games, they've got it, they're in control, and then they just stop playing.
They shut off.
Yeah, there's something wrong there.
What do we think about Finn Russell? Is he a maverick? Is he a genius?
He's an absolute genius. He's brilliant. And I love watching him play. It's really exciting. The only just negative thing with Scotland for me at the moment is it's like there are just so many South African names in there.
I don't think that's just in the Scotland team. It's across the board.
No,
right?
No. Do you know what? I had this out on Twitter. It's done now. The project player, the era of the project player is now over. It's 5 years to qualify. No one's going to lose 5 years of their career to go somewhere. So we just see this through, and that's it.
You really think so? That'll be
100%. Yeah, I think we can all get butthurt and angry about it. Every nation has been trying to do it. Some have been a bit more overt with it, but now you've got to do 5 year residency, or you have to be qualified through blood. And I just don't see many players in any nation going, oh, I'll go there for 5 years.
It was Michael Liner's son. He was playing. It was his debut.
It's Liner, yeah.
He was
born in Italy.
He's born in Italy. Of course, he would have been.
Playing for Benetton.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
But I think that's possibly part. Well, no, the Italians have done a big thing with with their youth, because their under 20s battered Scotland. And this, the only issue with Scotland is if you look at their under 20s, they've now been relegated out of the top tier, because there is relegation there. So they're playing.
Is there?
Yeah, so they're playing like Georgia's and what have you. Because they're absolutely village, and Scotland's system is to scour the world and try and find people that would qualify for Scotland rather than develop their own. And that is an issue for Scotland.
Yeah, it is.
That they have not got a conveyor belt coming through, whereas the Italians have got a conveyor belt coming through, and they've got that kid that sings Ness and Dorma. I'd pick him every week. Did you see it?
I did,
if there was a good singer, you'd pick him in your team. You're like, you were picked.
You're in.
Even if you're just on the bench.
First on the team sheet.
Yeah. Love that. Sing us a song again, Luigi. But I am more than just a singer. No.
No, that's good. For your accent, was actually proper Italian.
I was pleased Sam Skinner scored another try.
Yes.
He is the man in the clutch. If you need someone to do something special, Sam Skinner. Unfortunately, the rest of the team weren't as good as him.
You could argue that he was denied before.
Mm.
he's put on a lot of tin, hasn't he, since leaving? I mean, I remember him from the academy days at Exeter Chiefs.
He's always been a beautiful man, though.
He's a good looking,
isn't he, just
soul? Yeah, but, yeah, but he's just like big
nice
now.
Skin tone, really beautiful, first class honours degree, beautiful missus,
nice guy by all accounts.
Takes his time in the shower. Does everything he? About him, just
he's
great
spot
guy.
On. Yeah, he's perfect.
Quite, yeah. But anyway, that's enough of my loving. So, and I have to have special loving because he was the only person in the history of the rugby club that can row 2,000 meters faster than me.
Really?
Yeah.
Beat you?
Yeah.
What time?
I think he did 6:08.
Nice.
I know, he properly did me. I was quite upset with that. I was unofficial champ for quite a while.
Yeah, unofficial. Good.
Okay, right. So
moving
on.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Italy won. Great game. Really pleased to see them climb up and not be at the bottom of that table and looking down.
If results
to,
go their way, they
Wales.
Could even end up like third or something, couldn't they?
Yeah. Yes. Who's taking the spoon home?
Wales.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think Wales are. I can't see Wales beating Italy as the way Italy are. Although I'm a big fan of Wales at the moment, and I'm quite like it. Let's move to Wales. Wales, France, 24-45. I actually quite liked what the Welsh are doing. Is let's just throw everybody in. We're not going to win, but we're going to blood them. Daffy Jenkins, 26 tackles, no misses.
So you'll hear in the stats we talk about Daffy still right up there at the top of all the stats for tackling and for metres and for
just everything. Just for being
so
amazing.
Genuinely, he's been picked like the new Alan Wynne-Jones because he's not. He's just leading from the front. He just works really,
you see
really.
That when the French are scoring, Daff is probably the person that's diving in trying to make the tackle.
Yes.
Yeah, but do you see him like in games? You'll remember back in the playing days where those ridiculous work rate players, right? Yeah. They would make crazy
Tom
amounts
Johnson.
Of tackles. Tom Johnson.
Yeah.
But you'd never really see him. You'd see him out like standout performance every so often. He'd make a big contribution with a bit of a line break. Daff, I just know he's getting on with the work. He's one of those players for me that he is just grafting, but he's not really standout. Not in my opinion, anyway.
And when that player isn't playing, man, do you miss them as a side? Because all of a sudden you're going, why am I having to run over here and do this? Well, because they're not there and they'd have normally made that tackle.
Richard Hill.
Yeah, very true.
Richard Hill. But Baxter's speaking of him like with raptures about how he's the first to arrive, the last to leave. He's challenging everything. And for a young buck,
amazing.
And he's aggressive. And I think he's one hell of a player. And it'd be interesting to see what the... And also, I quite like the fact the Welsh are playing as the Welsh should play.
What's Daff like on the social before we move on to the...
Don't know.
Okay, well,
I'll find
enough.
Out. I'll find out. I'm with Ben Moon at Barnstable Rugby Club in a couple of nights' time, and I'll ask Moon and find out.
Find that, and then he can be my next favourite player.
Yeah, and Christians, of course, played there against the Navy on Wednesday night.
We'll come to that in our roundup.
No, I'm not going to talk about that, but he would have been in that side as well.
Yeah.
But weren't they playing some beautiful Welsh rugby? Old classic rugby they were playing.
This is the thing I'm saying. The Welsh has Gatland got it right? He's gone, right, let's go back to our DNA. We chuck it back. We play like Welshmen. And we go against... What was that noise then? Wow, did anyone hear that?
I heard a chirp.
Yeah, well, I'm on silent. But anyway, they're playing as the Welsh should. Now, they lost in the last 20 minutes because the French were just...
Too big.
Oh, mate.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see.
I had a big argument with my dad because he was like, "This is terrible. They're just too big and it's boring. Who wants to see this?" I want to see this, Dad. I want to see pushover scrums.
Okay, for a start, you don't have an argument with your dad because your dad always wins. So
he's got God on his side.
Exactly. You talk to your dad. Your dad talks back to you, and your dad wins.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation.
It's like my secret to my great marriage of my wife for however many, 25, 26, 30 years, is she wants something, I don't want it, we compromise and she gets it.
Absolutely. But your dad was thinking that the big French way of playing, picking big packs, is not in the spirit of rugby anymore?
But dad's your Barry Johns and all this, so he's loving, oh look, they're playing as Wales should play, they need to throw it around, they need to be loose. And I was like, well, that's great, Dad, but you have to beat the massive people in front of you, and if you can't, and the thing was, well, the Wales did, they were in the game till about the last 20, and then just the sheer size, Roman, you know, when you can bring on the Taffa Fanina, I'm saying that
wrong. And he did a charge down
mate,
and then sprinted
and managed to get it.
But back in the day when I was on the commercial team at Chiefs and the teams used to come, I used to go down on the touchline and just sort of watch all the people come off and be amazed that Chrissy Whitehead's mixing it with these absolute monsters. But there were some big men, and the French have got these blokes that you don't realise how big they are. Because I'm a big human. You know, I'm 6 foot five and I'm 19 stone. And some of these French second rows, they are genuinely huge. And they move so well for massive.
Well, I was going to say when he did the charge down and he did that sort of first step off his right foot for the big charge forward, I think the Earth slightly stopped spinning on its axis with the amount of weight transfer.
Just walking into the studio today, I don't spend too much time with rugby players anymore, but just walking into the studio today with you two absolute monsters reminded me of being on that pitch all those years ago. With the huge, enormous players that I used to go and have to chop tackle.
What was your thing? Were you fearful or were you excited? Or what were you thinking when you were playing? Because you were never the biggest, but you were always a massive repeat effort endurance. You'd be like, Chrissy Whitehead on the carry. Hang on, Chrissy Whitehead's on the carry. Chrissy Whitehead's on the carry.
That relentless work rate. Yeah. I think it was the imposter syndrome that I didn't belong there, that you just had to work. Because if you didn't work hard, you would be absolutely dropped, right?
My motivator was fear. I was petrified. Fear. I was like, if I get this wrong... and if I don't, you know, if I don't make this tackle, everyone's going to laugh at me. So I have to just throw myself in the spokes.
But looking back now, how enjoyable or how much better would it have been had you just like taken a step back and enjoyed it? Because I didn't really enjoy it at the time.
Right. So when I was with Oral, we played Exeter at Twickenham, and we won the second tier cup, and it was Gloucester versus somebody after, and the stadium was filling up. So it was about 60,000 in at the end, and we did a lap of honour around the pitch, and some random kid gave me a ball to sign. And I was so focused on getting this ball signed for this random kid, I didn't take it in.
No.
And I was like, what? And then a few years later with Exeter, we lost at Northampton in the same comp, and we did exactly the same thing. And these kids were coming up to me like, go away. This is for me. I need to, because I'm not going to have a moment like this again. I need to savour it. And like you say, it's only, you've always got to experience it to realise it.
See, I was always safe, and I knew I was always safe because I had a car that had four other seats and there weren't that many drivers because the side were quite young, so they always needed me to drive the other players to the away games. So got dropped for home games, but away games I knew I was always playing because I had to transport the other lads there.
And good spirit on the way back.
Yeah, it gives you, gives you a certain amount of security, that, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
None of those kids can drive, so I've got to take them there.
Back to the Six Nations. England played Ireland.
Come on, England.
Did they?
The England played Ireland, and I've been bemoaning and what have you. And again, I'm one of the things I quite like about me is I'm willing to have my mind changed. And England were ace. I was a massive fan of England. I thought you cannot fault the endeavour, the way they played. I thought Henry Slade was an absolute linchpin running the fast defence, which just crowded the Irish out. So they're big runners. We just didn't see them. They didn't do what Ireland would normally do. England deserved winners.
So I watched the first half live in the hotel and chose the restaurant directly opposite 45 German Street so that I could go straight in there, and I missed the second half and I sort of buzz, buzz, buzz on the side, but I was doing the better thing to go to the Royal Albert Hall. But watching the scores come through was just electrifying, and then watching the game back again afterwards, I watched the whole game yesterday, was...
We had a moan a couple of episodes ago about the whole Twickenham experience, about the non-alcohol zones and the half-time show and all
I'll tell you why. We got some rubbish band doing this, and this week they got Rag and Bone Man.
Amazing.
But irrespective of Rag and Bone Man, nothing matters if the team are playing as well as they did. You can have a man kicking a cow in the backside at halftime. No one will care. If the team are playing like they did, that's the entertainment you need, and everything else is superfluous.
The other thing was there was no excessive use of any TMO. There were no yellow cards. There were no red cards. There was only one yellow card for Imani the whole game, and the referee was brilliant. I watched some things like, oh, we're talking rubbish, and then rewound it. I was like, wow, I didn't even see that. He was just brilliantly accurate and gave a good game.
England's intensity was just right up there.
You were talking about George Martin, weren't you?
Absolutely. What a monster. I've not seen him play that often, obviously. Massive, proper Leicester Tigers skin. He was an absolute machine. And he really epitomised the intensity and the, I guess, the aggressive nature in which England really brought to the Irish.
Sam Underhill.
Earl, is just incredible. Did you watch Earl's... after game speech, yeah.
Mate, fair play. Like, I don't like the over celebrating, but mate, fair play, Ben Earl. You play well.
He is. He's a machine at the
moment. But his words were, we've been tagged or labelled as the worst England side ever.
I've not seen that personally. Have you seen that in the press? I know they've been getting some heat, but
there was quite a bit, because it was difficult to support England because they had, and there was a hammer piece came out. I think it was the Telegraph saying how there was a leak from all we do is defence. It's all crap. One of the players had a bit of a moan. And there was it's the English media that were getting down on it.
Dave 158 on X, who's got 9 followers, he said it.
We're a fickle bunch, right?
Yeah, but the thing is the Saracens mentality, they quite like the siege mentality.
Okay, fair
show. They do quite like, you know, they paint themselves into a corner. Millwall, everyone hates us, but we don't care. And but they came out and you could get behind it. The endeavour was there, the work rate was there, everything about it was spot on. Loved a lot of it.
And do you know what I really liked? Because, you know, as we go through the social media stuff, the Irish were so gracious, mate, on most of the pages.
Andy Farrell.
Of things.
We've been good at winning, we've got to learn to be good at losing.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mate.
But just saying, no, do you know what?
I want to crow over you. I want you to be like, I hate this.
Okay, so what did Borthwick and Farrell say? Because I know the press were trying to blow it out, but actually if you saw Farrell put his hand on Borthwick's back and...
Borthwick said, I'm from Preston.
No, you're not. You're from Wigan.
I'm from Wigan and I'm further north than you, Sean. I'm the king of the north.
Can we have a really, really quick shout out to Emmanuel, though? And I want to pull you up on this because I remember listening to a pod probably 4 or 5 episodes ago where
you
were fearful.
Yeah.
Well, you were fearful that he was just going to get kind of a 10-minute spell and then that would be it. He'd be done.
He's looking legit, isn't he?
He looks amazing, doesn't he? I really hope that he continues to go on that.
Mate, I've put a piece in the Express and Echo this week. 20 years ago, we had Alistair Murdoch and we called him the Doc. And I think that Faye Wabusu maybe will be the new Doc.
Brilliant.
The new Doc in town.
Love to see it. And he was emotional, like super, super emotional, which is
that's what you want,
which is hard
it?
Work from a Welsh person playing in an English shirt.
He's not Welsh.
I'm joking.
This isn't a pod for cheap shots or cheap calls. That's my job, not yours.
Sorry, Ian.
No, but he's really enjoying the whole thing and the catharsis you can get into. And that's, everyone's talking about seeing real characters. That's a real boy. He's had a lightning movement into it, so he hasn't quite had the level of media training. He's not dull. You're living it with him.
The admiration and respect that I've got for him and other players around him, aspiring players in the Championship or the lower leagues, you know, anything is possible, right? And he is an absolute
but
machine.
It's the extra pressure that he must have felt being a young lad, having only played for Chiefs a couple of times, everything else. He knew he could do it, and to do that and hold it all together and put a set like he did, I'm... You know, he would have put a few things wrong, but everything he did so right. Just well, the last score wouldn't have been a score had he not gone outside Bundiaki and actually made those extra 8 meters that he did. That then
he had the
put
most
island on the back foot.
He had the most post contact meters of everyone on the pitch.
Did he?
Yeah. Which is that's a really big marker.
He just looks dangerous. He looks, it's just exciting to watch, right? So huge kudos to him, and long may it continue. And when he comes back to the Chiefs, let's really hope that he even shines even further.
Mm.
Really? Yeah, so you know, not you don't ever say it, but we found ourselves a new Jack now.
Whoa. He's just signed again, hasn't he, for Rochelle?
Two more years.
Yeah. Good on him. Lovely to see that.
And he has the best translation program ever because his French that he writes on some things is absolutely immaculate.
Is it really?
And I can't believe he's learned that much French in a year.
Not a chance.
Because speaking is one thing, writing it down is completely different.
Oh, that's true.
Thank you.
I mean, living in France, that's it, vrai.
Do they speak much English out that way?
There'll be a fair bit, but the story I've heard is that they are so keen to ingratiate the players and their family. So it's not just, you know, well done you. It's like, how's the kids? How's the missus? Is there anything we can do here? Can we help you with that?
Superb.
But they have a bigger budget. There's greater tax incentives for sponsors. Blah blah blah. They can afford to do it.
And the French are amazing people. If you make an effort to speak French with them, it's the people who go, "Oh, French, I hate them, all of this," because they don't make any effort. They just go over there and shout things in English slower, and they're surprised they don't get what they want.
Okay. Right, anyway, so Six Nations. Should we talk about our thoughts for the Super Saturday later?
Well, no,
on?
Let's talk about our Chiefs players across the board that we had out there. So fantastic, wasn't it, that we had a player for Italy in Ross Vincent.
Yeah.
We had Daff playing for Wales, and I'm sure Chris would have been there if he was fit. For England, we had King Henry Slade himself, and Manny Fayi-Wobosu with Roots just missing out for
Roots will be back in this week though because Chandler Cunningham South hurt himself.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
And it'll just be straight back in.
I'm not surprised, though. Did you see the run-ups and then the pace he got going, running into that contact?
He was flat out.
Horrible.
Oh, mate, he was like rugby league, wasn't it? It was like a kick-off in rugby league, and there was no deviation. He was like, I'm running straight at you.
And all he needed to do, you couldn't hear it, was just sort of do something like, the bus is full, which is the best thing you can ever do when you run into someone and you're a big bloke.
I've never got up to that speed, but I imagine it would be great to be able to say that, running that quickly.
No, it's better if someone says it for you.
Oh, okay.
I used to love it when someone knocks someone over and then you could just be really chubbed. Yeah, bus is full, sit down! Because I never sat anyone down.
No, but yeah, down. You did. Oh, and the other thing that people would know is like, you know, when the ball goes up on a reset, start, and you're supposed to shout your name, and other people go, big name, so you know, you make your name even longer than you possibly can and say, Ian Alec Dunstan, like that, anyway. And then somebody shouts right after it, Smells.
Oh, no. So yeah. quick recap, who did we have from Chiefs playing for the Six Nations then?
Oh,
Alec Hepburn.
So Hamish McHepburn for Scotland.
Hamish McHepburn. Yeah.
So yeah, we've done.
That was it. There was yeah, one Scot, two English, one Welsh, one Italian.
Amazing.
Yeah. Pretty good.
The chances of getting someone in the Irish side, very low.
None. That won't happen.
Dave Hughes. No, he's too old.
Gone another 3 years, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And again, a Frenchman.
What's that?
We don't attract many French players over. The only one I can think of like, is our wonderful Nicolas Sestaret.
Yeah, I think that's about the only Frenchman I can think of too. It's cultural differences. Right, so we'll talk about Super Saturday later. Chiefs men and women both won. The women had a monster win, didn't they? 43-7.
Luka Baruga.
Loughborough.
Oh, was it Loughborough?
Yeah, Emily Scarrett's Loughborough, though it was Kobayashi, the centre, came on after 13 minutes, scored a hat-trick. So, women looking good. Well, it's quite interesting, the women's, because they now take a break for the women's Six Nations and the Pac Four, so they all disappear for a while. Gloucester at top of the log. Gloucester are going to win the league, pretty much, unless they lose all of their games, which ain't going to happen. But the second, third, fourth, you've got Saracens on 50 points, Exeter on 47, Bristol on 46, Loughborough miles behind on 27, so it's a three-horse race.
So Saracens lost quite heavily, so it's 35-10, wasn't it, to Bristol Bears
this
weekend?
Saracens have a game in hand, so Saris have got to play Sale, but then they play Chiefs at Chiefs, Gloucester at home and Loughborough, so they could lose their middle two yet. Bristol play Leicester, Quins and Saracens. Leicester, Quins and Sale, so Bristol should probably win all of their three. Chiefs play Ealing, Saris and Tigers. So it's all set. Chiefs, hopefully Chiefs could win their remaining games. Saracens lose two of theirs and Chiefs get a home semi, home final.
Nice.
I think that's the women. And then the men absolutely battered the Navy.
A men's side battered a Navy side, yeah. I mean, this is the Navy building up to the Army-Navy game, which, if you've ever been to Twickenham for, is absolute carnage. And they're talking about only doing it every other year and moving it around because of how bad things are.
It's the most booze that gets drunk at Twickenham, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's a proper tear-up.
But yeah, so good. Unless you live in Twickenham.
I watched some of the game. Matt Postlethwaite, I quite liked him. He was a big dump truck just charging around.
I think the best bit was they got 3,000 odd people in there.
Yeah, and it's Joe Hawkins, isn't it, the centre. He was running some lines. He was looking sharp.
And there was a young lad called Albert Dowse on the bench who was an all-white, who's played for Newton Abbott all through. I think he's only sort of 18, maybe just 19. I don't know, maybe even 20. But knows his dad from business. And it was his first ever start on the bench for the Chiefs.
We've had 10
under-18s. Brilliant.
10 under-18s players.
Well, you can't be 18. I think he's a prop, so you can't be under 18 in front row. But
19. But nonetheless, they had 10 like kids in this. But it was one of them. They had a big bench. But loads of kids.
But nice to do that and to bring these guys in and give them that match day experience of being in the changing rooms and being around the other players. And
have you been in the new changing room?
No, not at all.
It's massive.
Is it
huge?
Really?
It's like an NFL changing room.
Really?
Yeah, you can, because they've taken a big chunk of the gym as well. So it's not just like a room for 23, it's a room for about 40 now. It's
incredible.
Massive.
Have they got like really posh seating? And
no, they haven't done that. They haven't done the
still the classic benches.
Just benches, yeah.
Oh, good. Keeping it real.
Yeah, to an extent. But yeah. What was that? So
Tony Walker was moaning about it because he fills the water bottles for the team, and now there's more of them. He's got a lot of time filling water bottles.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll come back in a minute with the local rugby roundup, but now we're going to have a break for a quick chat with our sponsor and hear from Statman.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Hey Dave, great to see you this week. It's nice to be here with good, positive, happy vibes because what a great weekend was had.
Yeah, I think a brilliant weekend was had by all, maybe not the Scots, but never mind.
Well, they don't matter. Someone built a wall to keep them out, so that's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, brilliant weekend of rugby. We'll start with the Chiefs women. That was their biggest win of the season in the league this year, not against Sale. It's the 11th time they've kept a side to under 10 points in the league, and that's the fourth time they've done that against Loughborough, so it's a bit of a habit. And I keep talking about their incredible home record at Sandy Park against teams not called Gloucester Hartbury. That's now played 32, won 27, drawn one. And those four defeats have all been against Gloucester Hartbury. So that goes back till to November 2020, the same day that Tom O'Flaherty scored that try against Bath. Was the last time they lost to a side not called Gloucester at home.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a brilliant record. It's a real proper fortress, just not for teams in red and white stripes, obviously.
Cherry and white.
Yeah, cherry and white and hoops, really. But that's a lifetime of winding Gloucester fans up. So Six Nations, another brilliant weekend. I think we'll start with England. We were really, really negative about England last week. So let's go back for some history to compare their comeback win. So Russ Petty, the brilliant stato on Twitter, pointed out that it's the first time England have overcome a three-point half-time deficit against Ireland since 1960. Just for the sort of reference, Harold Macmillan was Prime Minister. That's how long ago it was, 64 years ago. And Ireland had won 50 out of 51 when they were 3 points up at half-time.
You mentioned that, didn't you, last week? You said if Ireland were up at half-time, they've won the game all the time.
Yeah, and it just shows that the Ireland side are obviously listening to the podcast and we're just obviously got complacent.
No, oh, absolutely. Already won the game. And everyone loves to, you know, break a stat man's box ticking.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone loves to break a stat. One of the things we talked about last week was England's entries into the 22 and their sort of their conversion rate being really poor. It was really poor again on Saturday. They made 13 entries into the 22. Ireland had only conceded 9 in the first three games.
Wow.
They'd conceded 9 in the first half, and they'd conceded 13 in the first three games and 13 in total against England. So England are playing some really good rugby, just not in the last quarter of the pitch.
Yeah,
if they can find a bit more incisiveness in that bit, they'll be a real proper side. Ireland made their fewest number of entries into the 22 for 17 internationals. The last team that kept them to fewer was South Africa about 18 months ago. So, again, not a bad defence to be compared to for England, really. Sticking with England, Manny Fayiwoboso made his first start on Saturday for England. Looked like a 30 or 40 cap international, didn't he? Made 9 carries for 93 metres. The only person who made more post-contact metres in the whole game was Bundi Aki, which isn't a bad person to compare to in contact.
No.
He had a hell of a game. Also worth just pointing out, a non-chief who played brilliantly for England the weekend, Ben Earl, not sure Eddie Jones got it right on him, 19 carries for 140 metres for a forward.
He's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
And 12 tackles. I mean, the poor guy must have been shattered Sunday morning.
He'd have got up and wanted to do it again.
But obviously, there was only one real number 8 we were interested in on Saturday. Ross Vincent making his second start for Italy. They are unbeaten when he starts. He carried for 72 metres, made 18 tackles. In the whole championship so far, only Danny Kerr and Ben White are more effective at breaking the gain line as a percentage of carries. And Danny Kerr's only carried twice.
Wow, so, that's just incredible. And it's been against good sides as well. It's not they've been playing.
Yeah, exactly. He's both quick and can step and strong. Michele Lamoureux made more tackles than him for Italy on Saturday. He made 26. Which was the same number Daff Jenkins, another skipper made, young skipper made for Wales on Sunday. And Daff is still leading the championship for attacking breakdown arrivals. He's now hit 112 attacking rucks, which is the most in the tournament. He's made 67 tackles and 93% of them have been successful. He's attempted to the second highest number of tackles. He just works so hard. And only Michele Lamoureux again had attempted more. So, he's not got the results he would like, but his performances have been exceptional, really. It's surely only a matter of time for that young Welsh side turn around, really.
Oh, exactly. I think it's why he was chosen as captain. He's led from the very front. And I think I'll also be right in saying it's the first time he started at 6 or played at 6 in a professional game.
Yeah, I think he did as a teenager, which actually wasn't that long ago, was it? But
oh no, it wasn't. But that wasn't professional then, was it? So,
but yeah, as a sort of cult. But yeah, incredible to just adapt that quickly. But I guess for all three of those young lads, international rugby's a piece of cake, isn't it? Two of them are just turning up and winning and bossing teams that they shouldn't be doing. And Dafydd Jenkins is the Wales captain at the age of 21. I mean, it's just easy, isn't it, international rugby, as far as I'm concerned?
Exactly. You've got to say the future's bright for the Chiefs with these three young lads. Don't forget, if Crist was fit, he'd be up there as well.
Yeah, completely.
You know, and who knows else, you know. So, yeah, brilliant. Some absolute brilliant and cracking stats from this week. And last week of the Six Nations next week.
Yeah, last weekend of it this weekend. And then there's this competition called the Premiership, which I think comes back the week after. I'll have to look up to see what that is.
Yeah, I was going to say. So we'll do a rundown next week on the final of the Six Nations. I'm pretty sure Ireland are going to win it, but no Grand Slam 2 years on the trot, which shows how hard that actually is. And then we can start talking about that Prem competition.
Yeah, I'm just remember what it is, I think, first of all.
Dig them out the spreadsheet, page 39.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Cheers, Dave. Thanks a lot. We'll talk next
week. Yeah, see you next week.
Two Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Well, I mean, my big take home there is Statman saying that only Gloucester Hartbury have won at Sandy Park, and if Chiefs women win all of their games, they could well end up with a home semi, home final, which is pretty cool.
Almost right, because the Chiefs have won there a lot.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, jeez. Such a pedant.
Well, that's normally your job.
Yeah, okay. So, on to local rugby. Well, no, not just local rugby, just rugby.
It was a bye week this week for most of the sides
locally.
There
was one hell of a game in the Championship, possibly the greatest game of rugby I've ever heard of.
Who?
It was Hartbury were playing Nottingham.
Wow.
3-0.
No way, Ripper.
What a game of rugby.
Oh, that's proper rugby. Haven't we lost to Plymouth 3-0?
No, we lost 8-3 at the County Ground. Nat Salmi scored a try in slow motion down the right-hand wing. I remember it vividly. And we
I thought at Brickfields.
No, don't we lost 3-0 at Brickfields?
Graydon Staniforth did this horrible crossfield kick.
Mate, Graydon Staniforth, he was a guy.
Where did that name come from?
Graydon.
Jeez.
Mate, he used to just try and pull Bremner's trousers down all the time. Thought it was hysterical. this is back when we were sort of forging the culture of hard drinking rugby players,
right?
And we got some crack. We got Scott Staniforth's brother Graydon, fullback, unbelievable flashing blade on the front foot. Didn't like tackling.
No, not many do though, do they, in that position? To be fair,
no. But I mean, you give him ball on the front foot, he was like 6'3", just beautiful. He'd carve people up, but then in defence he just wasn't as keen, and we used to have some proper junkyard dobs.
And then you had Adam Staniforth as well.
Yeah, Stanny the lad. Stanny. Did you know he runs a very well thought of fake Twitter profile, which I can't allude to who it is.
Really?
Yeah. I'll tell you off air.
How do you know that information?
Because I'm a stato with these things. I just, you know, I need to know.
Another very nice man.
So that was the big game in the champ, and then obviously moving down to National 1, it's looking very ominous for Taunton.
Who is it looking ominous for?
Taunton Titans.
There you go. You can't, like, not
Taunton
do it.
Taunton Titans.
Taunton Titans.
They were 26-45 losers to Bishop Stortford. Bishops are the closest team to safety. Bishops are now on 41 points, Plymouth on 33. There's four or five games left in
Plymouth.
That
can
one.
Can we talk about Plymouth since you left?
Mate, the wheels have fallen off the Plymouth bus. Plymouth are...
Lost to Chinner,
they lost
it?
To Chinner... 26-5. And then the real turn up was Rams lost at home to Sale. So Rams, who were level on points with Chinner, suddenly Chinner have opened up a 5-point gap with five games to play.
What's going on at Plymouth?
Wheels have fallen off, mate.
Bentley left.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that there was a Svengali like commercial director driving it, and you know, wouldn't say that.
Anyway, so it was in the lower leagues. We're going to move on quickly from that. And the lower leagues, there was or in Southwest of Regional One Southwest, it was a bye week, and these bye weeks create really interesting rugby games. And there was only one played, because what happens is the WAGs, wives and girlfriends, go, right, I've got my husband, boyfriend, whatever else for that week, because there's no rugby, so I'm going to book something. So they do stuff. And then last week the pitch at Western Supermare was flooded, So the Exmouth got up there, no, can't play. This week they went up there and they lost to Western, and Western haven't been playing well. And yeah, so they're really interesting. You can play your bye weeks well when you know you've got a good side, and your opposite lot are off shopping.
Well, it's commitment, isn't it? One of my old coaches, Mike Gregory, Great Britain Rugby League, used to say the only excuse is death. You're dead or someone close to you is dead, or you're there and you're flat out.
Yeah, you do forget. I think just as a quick plug from me as well, every single, I guess, amateur rugby club that I've ever been in part of coaching-wise...
When they've left, they've got... When you've left, they got promoted.
They've got promoted.
We have called you.
We called you. What did we call him?
Mate.
I can't even remember.
We have just said that,
was it the parachute, or the handbrake, or something like that.
if you're moving through the leagues at any pace and you need to slow down that progression, get Chrissy White in.
I am available and will leave my mobile contact number.
Pragmatism is key here, lads. We don't want to win this one.
Absolutely.
And Topsham and Simmerth are absolutely flying. I mean, Topsham have got promoted into this league with Simmerth.
But you could be doing really well. Like the foundation stone, Chris. You're putting the culture in place, and then you're going, right, now it's time to fly.
Absolutely. Oh,
my work here is done. You're like the littlest hobo. You've done your bit, and then you just run off down the road.
I don't know how proud I should be of this, to be honest with you, but Kingsbridge, incredible club, got promoted. Topsham, incredible club, got promoted. And Sidmouth are absolutely flying. I just don't think the players like me.
No, I think it's the opposite, mate. I think that you are a change maker. You just have to be there at the beginning.
You put the foundations in.
Point the arrow, pull the quiver back, and then you go, right, let it
fly, my pretties.
Which becomes, you make sure the better man. What about Simon Jenkins, your friend? He's looking for a director of rugby role because it's the only thing he's fairly good at.
Honestly, where did he do that? On Twitter or something?
Yeah, no, on the Facebooks. Don't do Facebooks. No, genuinely, when I'm looking for a role as director of rugby, head coach somewhere, because it's the only thing I'm fairly good at.
Oh, yeah, well, both his kids are doing well.
Yeah,
we went on a date to see June. It was lovely. June 2, which I didn't like.
So any club looking for a director of rugby?
DOR.
Simon Jenkins.
Just a quick shout out for Tavistock. Their first win of 2024 last weekend. They beat Bude 33-7. But that would make sense now, because if it was the bye week, they probably had all their lads available, and Bude were obviously off on holiday. And Devon under-20s, 41-7 winners over Cornwall under-20s. That's a result.
First time that's happened for quite a while.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, best bit of sponsorship I've ever done. I'm on the sleeve of that shirt. Did it about 5 years ago.
All right. I thought if you just said that with enough confidence, everyone would believe you. But you actually do know that is factually correct.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Oh well, fantastic.
Yeah. I'm not as stupid as I look, which would be difficult. But
okay. So anyway, let's move off the field. And there was a cracking tweet from Gabby Logan about reserves and benches. And just hang on a second.
While you're looking that up, can we do a big shout out for the shirt for Aiden? So. Aiden, the Chiefs player's got non-Hodgson's lymphoma or something. I'll get that completely wrong, but it's something really cancerous that's horrible happening to him, and the Chiefs are raising money for him and a charity with a one-off special shirt, which you can find on their website, which is being released soon. And it'd be great to get behind that and support him.
Oh yeah, and they've done a nice price. That's like £10.
Yeah.
Because normally everything from Chiefs on the stash wise is £1 million. So I was like, yeah, fair dues. I might actually buy one of them.
I screenshot it, so I've got to get it right. I got it right. Aiden Davis, who's fighting non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah. So I'm up for that. I'm up for the next game, Chiefs. Anyway, does international rugby need to do something about the replacements? Many games are balanced until the bench is emptied and then the dominant nation prevails. Limit them. Restrict them to a 4x4 split. Leave it alone. What do you think?
No.
Absolutely not. For any player that's...
No, let's not debate that.
I want to.
I'm a massive fan.
I'm a massive fan. And Stephen Jones from The Times, who I quite like as a pundit, came straight in and said, Gabby, there's massive support at World Rugby and almost everywhere to slash replacements, all levels. No more fresh player smashing into tired player, but dominant coaches stopping any action. And so World Rugby are trying to get back to it. Because rugby union used to be a game of attrition, and there was a good big in and beat you up for 60 minutes, but you knew you'd get him in the last 20. And it's changed now that there's a good big beat you up for 60 minutes and then another good big and beat you up for the last 20. But I quite like the idea of getting back to attrition.
We go to a 23? And we went from 22 to 23 solely to get another front row replacement, so we didn't get uncontested scrums.
Yeah.
And that was, 10 years ago? I don't know. We'll have to look that up. But
the nature of rugby union, and this is something I've taken a while to get my head around to, is a constantly evolving game. And just because of the nature of it, we have to keep moving the dial slightly, because otherwise coaches will game it or people will get properly injured.
Look, the only thing I think we could go for would be to sort a split out so you can't do this and that player has to identify as that person. Because South Africa, you know, 7-1, seven forwards and one back.
Because you have challenges like Makalu, who plays for France, who can play on the wing and he can play in the back row. So, yeah.
Quagga Smith could play back row or play centre or play anywhere.
So the argument isn't to reduce the amount of replacements. It's
for us to have that conversation and a bit of a debate. What do we think? I'm a massive fan of reducing substitutions. I think that it would be better if you had less substitutions and a fatigue index became a real issue within rugby union, that lads get tired.
But from a spectator's perspective, is that what you want? You want to see loads of lumpy old men or men? Or women, or just running around the rugby pitch, absolutely blowing, shattered, not playing the best of their abilities. I think if you look down the lower leagues and there's like three substitutes or three replacements, it almost becomes dangerous because you've got players out there that are limping around, having to get through the full 80 minutes because you've rinsed through your bench.
But this is the point: if you're all knackered, then there's space for the fast lads to run. So you have almost like a double game where the start of the game, if you want to have a big fella or a big player that can really cause damage, they're great. But you know that towards the end, you're going to have to look after them and cosset them, which is great space.
Talking about like the French, that they take off Tuilagi and then they stick on...
Miafu.
Another giant.
You're taking off a giant who's run 40 minutes and then the other one has to do 40 minutes. So you're training to run 40 minutes.
When I played youth rugby, one of the things for me, I was always had an engine. I could always go for like 80 minutes. It wasn't fast, but I could always play at a decent level for 80 minutes. And then as we went into the seniors in the pro game and suddenly you had reserves, you'd be against a bloke that might be a bit bigger than you and you think, well, don't worry, I'll get him as it gets on because I know I can keep going.
That last 20.
And then suddenly there's another absolute mute comes on and you're like, oh well. And then it's like, well, I now have to become a mutant myself.
Well, let's do rolling subs like rugby league then.
Well, that could be a solution if you did like four on the bench but you've got 10 interchange so you can move players through.
That's my happy sort of game with rugby now. 20 minutes, come off for 20 minutes, back on for 20 minutes, done.
Are you not stiff as a board?
No, they do that in the national leagues. What, you have five on the bench, but you have an interchange, so you can move like eight subs or something.
I suppose you just sit ticking over on a bike or something.
No, you run, do laps around the pitch. No, God, no, my hamstrings haven't moved for donkey's years, so they're no stiffer after 20 minutes than they are anyway.
Fair shout.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. I quite like the concept, but you boys are not.
All those in favour say aye.
I'd like to reduce the number of substitutes on all levels of rugby union and tactical substitutions. I think that the professionalisation of the game's got a lot to answer for on that. And I'm one of the first to admit that I quite like the old school virtues of rugby union that's slightly less professional.
Yeah, wonderful. Move on. Two of us say no, you say aye, good.
But good fight.
You're wrong again. Well done.
Okay. All right, well, I thought it was nice.
You might as well have been arguing with Colin.
Wow. You can argue, but to be honest, my old man's got a lot better recently. Cheers, Dad, I love you. All right, then, our final point is in the bin! How long should an advantage last? And this came from a debate that my old man and I had watching Wales play France.
So do you want the technical is...
Look, can I set it up first?
Okay, go on.
Can I set it up? So, you're playing a game of rugby. Let's take it as it was. France attacking the Welsh line. The Welsh give away a penalty. The referee says penalty advantage. They're 5 yards out. The French then go on for 3 minutes, attacking all different points, don't score. And the referee says you still have the advantage. Is it unfair on the Welsh that because of one misdemeanour, they have to then defend an unspecified and unlimited amount of breakdowns and phases until either the opponents score or they come back and have to defend again?
I'm sure Ian will know the laws or the technicalities of this, but just as a question, is there a time frame on it as of right now? Well, is there a cap?
No, so this was, we had a conversation on text when it was going on, and I've got to find what Coxie is.
Because three minutes seems ridiculous.
Okay, so I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Go on.
So an advantage has to be either tactical or territorial.
Right.
So you have to have one of the two. So if you're on the line, you have to either score or do something. Now, most of the times, a team will knock it on after three phases and the advantage goes back to the penalty because that's what it is. This time, the French were a bit more clinical. They didn't, so it carried on. Now, imagine that this was somewhere else or on the field. So what Chris is almost asking for is two different sort of advantages. Like an advantage if you're on the field somewhere. How often have you seen it where you're passing the ball, then advantage is kicked kicked away, but actually it was a rubbish kick and there was no real advantage, and they'll go vantage over just as something happens, or they'll sort of go that and they'll bring it back to something there. So it's just impossible for a referee to be consistent with a different advantage. It has to be held the same way, that at all times advantage is either tactical or territorial.
I think the only way you can do that is put a time cap on it. So well, 60 seconds, right? Or
so who's going to count to 60 seconds?
But in when's that going to happen? In the NFL, you have four chances to make you down. If you don't, that's it.
Yeah.
Or in rugby league, you have six tackles. In rugby union, for me, it should be right. You've got an advantage. You now have four phases of play.
Yeah.
And if you haven't taken your advantage, we come back to the position. And I know there's tactical territorial, but I would suggest that we should introduce another aspect to the law that says tactical territorial or a set number of phases.
Okay, so what we want to do is, what we've talked about in the past, is having a game that has as much rugby time in it as possible.
Yeah.
So what you're asking for is you get so far, stop it, and then come back to something. So you're stopping the game. So the referee's now got to start counting the phases, which is fine, they can do that. They're all very clever people that have got thousands of decisions and pictures going on in their head the whole time, but you now want to stop something that's flowing and bring it back. And they could say, oh, well, we're about to score on that because actually on that third phase. But if they know that's going to happen, then it might force them to do other things. Right, and that's the only, as I'm saying that out loud, I'm thinking actually,
like, you're starting to come around to it.
I'm not completely.
But the issue was the French were like, right, let's be safe here. We'll pick and go. We're not getting anywhere. Right, we'll have a little go. No, we're picking and going. Hang on a minute. You've had a few goes at it. You've had your advantage. You didn't take it. Now we're coming back to the penalty. And that's my feeling, is it was unfair on the Welsh that they're going, we have to defend manfully and willfully. Whatever happens, we're coming back to defend another penalty.
But there's nothing,
so it's like a free shot.
But yeah, there's nothing more exciting than a free play.
No, there isn't.
Ever.
No,
because all of a sudden, but the ball will get...
But isn't the free play even more exciting if you know you've got to do it?
Yeah, you've got to do it.
So it's not...
You've got no other option.
It's not like a boxer that can stand back and hide on their jab. It's like, well, you now have to go for a king hit. Like in cricket, where you get a free hit. If there's a foul ball, right, you get a free hit on this one. You get one free hit, you don't get six. You don't get free hits till you hit a six. You get a free hit. And this is like, you've got an advantage, you have to take that advantage or we're going to come back to the penalty. And I just felt, for the nature of that game with Wales especially, it really exemplified it. And I was like, fair play, Colin. My dad was right on this one. He's featured a lot today.
Whilst you were non-stop talking then, I've just tweeted the RFU saying it'd be a really good idea that advantage should be cut down.
No,
I agree with you. You've dragged me around. I agree with you. I think that, I don't know how you're going to referee it with consistency, but the thought of that having a time on it.
Easy.
So it goes back to just crazy jouet.
So it's, you have an advantage, which now means you've got four plays to do something magical or go back to the penalty.
Yeah, easy.
And that actually creates a level of jeopardy. It's like the shot clock. It's like you've got a minute to take the kick. Right,
brilliant.
You are now under jeopardy. You've got to go for
it. His ball blew over again in the stadium, didn't he? On that. How does that happen?
He needs to get one of Jimmy Gopeth's tees.
Yeah, he does.
What does he call it? Jimmy Gopeth has a... It's like Jimmy's tees or something.
No idea. Like, how would we know what a kicking tee was?
Bring back the old big traffic cones.
It's Jimmy G's
Bob Armstrong.
Tees. He sells them as Jimmy G's tees.
Does he?
Yeah.
Bob Armstrong just used to do it off a bit of sand.
Oh, mate, I used to play...
And he can kick.
My first senior club was New Brighton, and I was 17 to 19, and we had this lad, Najiki Chikute, who was from Cameroon, and he honestly used to kick like a Sabutio man. He'd stand... Put the ball down, he'd put his left foot next to the ball, and then he'd pivot his whole body backwards like he was doing a single leg deadlift and just swing his leg and toe bang it
on a pivot.
And he could bang the ball over from anywhere in his half. He was unbelievable, Jeeky.
I want to see that,
mate. It was one that I'll show you. Honestly, it was brilliant. It was one of the best kicking techniques I've ever seen.
So you have to spell his name out for us so we can actually search him on YouTube.
Brad has been astronomically late and he's trying to get me to wrap up. So what we need to do is look at the Six Nations for this weekend, and we have to have our hot tips.
Well, while we're talking about this weekend, I want to talk about, there's a massive game happening at Exmouth Rugby Club.
Oh,
it's the Wooden Spoon veterans versus the Royal Marines veterans.
Oh my gosh, when is this?
2:30 kickoff.
When?
Exmouth, this Saturday.
Hang on a minute, I've heard that the Wooden Spoon might have one hell of an enforcer playing.
They have, and I'm also playing.
Oh my gosh. Right, the thing is, anytime you play forces teams, they might not be very good, but they play for 80 minutes.
I've played for the Royal Marines as well. They're up in Taunton.
They bring you as a second row. Could you be a second row for us? Because all Marines are about 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
Were they struggling for a driver?
And I scored. No, they weren't. We were already in Taunton.
Oh, perfect.
That's the best bit.
Could you imagine playing rugby now, Chris?
No, I can't think of anything worse. It terrifies me. Watching the two boys that I've got, or two of the three boys that I've got playing, just terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I know B is flying, isn't she?
B's at, yeah, she's just moved to Cully. She's having a whale of a time with
amazing.
It.
Yeah,
but for you, it'd be like being a master chef and you've got to turn out these dishes. I've just been like playing like a big pizza for years, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
I went head shy. The tour where I broke my leg and retired, I realised I'd just gone soft. I don't want this.
Gone soft.
While we're on pizzas, I want to do a big shout out for my wife who cooked the perfect one the other day. She used to use next door smoke alarm to cook most things.
But she's nailed it.
She nailed it. It's amazing.
That's going out there for Annie Vernon. That's Ian being a hoot. So, Italy, Wales, who's winning that?
Wales.
Italy.
I'm going to go Italy. I think Italy. It's in the Principality. It's in Wales, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So, how good was Max Boyce? Did anyone see the Max Boyce bit?
What was happening at the start? Is that the start, Max Boyce, when he was doing the song?
He was setting them up for hymns and arias. It was like an old school sing song. I love that.
I just woke up from a nap and was so delirious, like watching that happen. I was like, what is going on?
An afternoon nap on a Sunday.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, absolutely. Mate, that's you and Cox here are in the same world.
That is bourgeois.
That's just a sign of wealth, isn't it?
And Scotland versus Ireland.
Ireland.
Is it in Scotland or in Ireland?
Not sure. Ireland, 100%.
It's in Ireland.
Ireland, rage,
yeah. I think Ireland see Scotland off comfortably. Yep. And then England, France, I think that could be a cracking game.
It's going to be a great game if England play like they did this week. And
it's
I
in Lyon.
It's in
Paris.
If they play the same way they've done it, the confidence of just being Ireland and not being complacent with it, wanting to build on that performance, then French.
I hope England play with the same flashing blade as they did, which is something you can get behind.
Yeah, but I think they will, because I think he'll select an identical team apart from like Cunningham South.
Roots will come
on. Yeah, but apart from that, he'll leave. So, you know, having Furbank and Manny and who's your other lad on the other
Freeman.
Wing? Freeman. Three not young handsome. Guys who are all flying, all dangerous, and he'll keep going that way.
Fingers crossed. I can't see it myself, but fingers crossed.
Okay, well, Brad's looking at me. Any other business, Ian?
No.
Any other business, Chris Bentley? No, Chris, the final word for this podcast goes to you as a special guest.
What an absolute pleasure, privilege and honour to be back in this room with you two and just obviously speaking all things Exeter Chiefs and rugby. Thank you for having me.
Two Locks and a Cox.
Two Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.